Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with your host, Nicole Romito. Nicole, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. It's a little, a little later my time than yours. This is probably a little bit before you want to get social with people, but...
Yes. For anyone who knows me, I don't people before 10 o'clock central. So this should be a good one.
All the more exciting.
I agree. And I think my guest is going to be able to carry the lion's share of the weight. So I feel like it's still going to be a valuable episode.
Excellent. What are we talking about today?
Yeah. So I'd like to welcome back Carly Rossworm. Hi, Carly. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. Hanging in there. Sorry to make you talk about Medicare so early in the morning.
Well, like we talked about, I think I might be just asking a lot of hopefully well-pointed questions to tee you up to share your knowledge. So for our listeners, Carly and I are going to be discussing, I've asked her back because there have been some significant changes with Medicare since the last time she was on. For our longtime listeners, if you did not catch the first episode that Carly was our guest, that is episode number 20. So please feel free to go back and listen to that, where we did really a more broad overview of Medicare, the different types of Medicare insurance, some enrollment dates, and things like that. But before we kind of get into Medicare, I just want to give our listeners a little background on Carly. As I mentioned, our guest today is Carly Rossworm. She's the Director of Medicare Solutions at Ash Brokerage. She graduated from Indiana University with a degree in business and concentration in marketing. And since then, she has been very involved in the realm of Medicare. She has been life and health insurance for 19 years and has experience in Medicare marketing, contracting, compliance, continuing education, and sales. So she is well positioned, I think, to provide a robust conversation on the topic. And Carly, I think we talked about, just in case people didn't have a chance yet to listen to your prior episode, do you maybe want to just do a quick recap or some kind of highlights of what things people should look for to be prepared as they are, approaching the age of 65 when they're eligible to apply for Medicare?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be back
and
be recording again. So for anyone who missed the prior episode, I really do a deep dive in that episode of Part A, Part B, Original Medicare, Supplements versus Advantage Plans. So if you want an overview of the different parts of Medicare, I would definitely take a listen to that. Just like you're saying, Nicole, when someone's turning 65, they've got a lot of decisions to make. They need to figure out, when are they going to go on Medicare? When are they going to draw Social Security? Should they even go on Medicare if they're still working? Should they delay Medicare if they're still on an employer plan? There's a lot of moving parts to it. Some people will delay Medicare if they're still working. Other people pick it up right at 65. Meanwhile, your mailbox is being completely filled with advertisements and mailers right. And confusing pieces of mail of all the things that you should do with their company. So it can be a lot to navigate. I would say that the first step is get a game plan together. I think that timing-wise, three or four months ahead of your 65th birthday is really when you should decide, okay, how long am I going to keep working? Should I stay on that plan? And let's compare that to what's on the Medicare market to see what that best move is going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I am not yet of the age, but it does seem, just from, talking with my parents and then clients who are of the age, it is not, I guess no surprise since it's a government sponsored plan, but it's very convoluted, or I guess it could be there's many layers might be a better way to say that.
Absolutely. There's so many moving parts to it. And what I always say is Medicare is not one size fits all. It all depends on what your current status is, if you're still working, what those employer benefits look like. Because a lot of times we'll compare those employer benefits to Medicare to see if it's going to make more sense to hop on Medicare or stay on that employer plan instead. And one of the big pieces as well is income, because your adjusted gross income is going to affect what you're paying for original Medicare. And so that's a huge part of the piece as well. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of things to consider.
Absolutely. And I know many of my clients are shocked by the premium they're paying, mm-hmm. because as you're saying, I believe they look back to 2 years prior, yes. to your, yep. AGI or adjusted gross income. So, you know, 2 years prior, you're probably still working full time. If you're not thinking about it, I mean, you still need to live and pay the bills too. So sometimes there's only so much you can do. But yes, it is a tiered premium surcharge model, if you will. So depending on your income. But I think one thing just to highlight before we get into some of the changes is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, there's a base premium. I can't remember what it is this year. Is it around $175 a month?
So, or? Yeah, this year in 2025, the standard Part B premium is $185. So $185, okay. is the Part B premium for someone who's not in a high income category. So that's what most people pay, is $185. And that'll come right out of your Social Security if you're drawing it, or you'll get billed for it quarterly. But to your point, they're going to look back 2 years. So, you know, right now it's 2025. They're going to look at your adjusted gross income from 2023 to determine if you have any IRMA charges. And just to explain, IRMA stands for income related monthly adjusted amounts. So that's how much they're adding to that standard Part B premium of $185. And that Part B premium changes every year. So, you know, last time when we recorded 2 years ago, it was lower. It goes up every year.
Yes, like all things. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not at the level of inflation of eggs, but right. It does go up.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right. So I think, you know, again, to our listeners, check out that first episode, or I know Carly will give her contact info, as will I, and we're happy to, you know, talk with you individually, because this is something that you can't just talk to your neighbor, your brother, or your best friend, because it is going to be very specific to your situation, not only health-wise and what providers you use, but as Carly and I just discussed, from a financial perspective.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's kind of, is there anything else you wanted to kind of go through with the overview? I feel like that was a good overview.
But. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when someone is turning 65, let's assume that you're not working or not staying on an employer plan, there's really two types of coverage you can go with. You can either go with a traditional Medicare supplement plan or a Medicare Advantage plan. And that's really what we help guide clients on, is which one of those two types is going to be a better fit for them. Yep.
Okay. All right. Great. So since we were together a couple years ago, I mean, gosh, it seems like a lifetime ago. So much has been going on. But there have been, I know, a lot of either new or updates in the Medicare space that have been put in place over the last 2 years. So why don't we, if you want to kind of highlight some of those and then maybe, you know, do pros and cons or things that may have changed, so we don't have people making decisions on like outdated information. Why don't we start there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to jump right into the Inflation Reduction Act. So I would say that is probably the biggest change in Medicare that we've seen over the last couple of years, is how that is changing things, primarily in the Part D space. So just to kind of recap, Part D is for prescription drugs. So prescription drug coverage, that's Part D of Medicare. There is a new cap that started this year, so it's 2025. There's a new $2,000 cap on prescription drug costs. And what that means is, over the course of the calendar year of 2025, your co-pays or your co-insurance for prescriptions can't be more than $2,000. Now, that's assuming that all of your drugs are listed on the company's formulary, and these are, you know, prescriptions that you're getting at an outpatient pharmacy, so not at a doctor's office. So really, this new $2,000 cap, it's good and bad depending on how you look at it. It's fantastic for my clients who are on expensive medications. So let's say I have, you know, a few brand name medications that I'm taking, tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 medications. then the $2,000 cap is incredible. If I'm not on any expensive medications, we are seeing some changes to the Part D plans in general, meaning that sometimes premiums are going up or deductibles are going up. Some of the co-insurance for higher tiered medications is higher. So from a positive perspective, if I'm taking a lot of medications, I've got this new $2,000 cap, which is great. There's no more donut hole. There's no more Medicare coverage gap like we had in years prior. So that's fantastic. The downside is that we are seeing some changes to the plan structures themselves. You know, like I said, some of the premiums are going up, deductibles, coinsurance, what have you. So it really takes that out-of-pocket exposure from what it was previously, $8,000 all the way down to $2,000, which is great for some clients.
Yeah, that is great. And when you say the donut hole or coverage gap have been eliminated, is that across the board, regardless of who's issued your Part D or what type of plan you're on?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Part D plans across the board, there's no more coverage gap. So what that means is in years prior, there was a coverage gap phase where you had to spend a higher out-of-pocket or a higher coinsurance once the full cost of your drugs reached a certain threshold. So, you know, clients would have a set copay for a while, and then all of a sudden they would have to pay 25% of the cost of their drugs. That's been eliminated. So what's nice is there's no more surprise, you could say, of this time frame or this coverage gap. Luckily, that has gone away, which is helping with some of the confusion that surrounds Part D plans. But, you know, because of that, these companies are kind of saying, all right, well, as a carrier, if I'm taking on more risk exposure, how do I remain profitable? So that's why some of these companies are upping their premiums or deductibles or coinsurance amounts or even changing their formularies in some circumstances.
For our listeners, with formulary, is that does that refer to like if it's generic versus name brand?
So formulary just means the list of covered drugs. So each carrier, like each company has their own list of prescriptions that they cover, and they have to cover a certain amount in each therapeutic category. So really what that means is if I'm ABC company, this is my list of drugs that I'll cover. So what some of these plans will do is they'll make you do either step therapy, which is trying a lower cost drug before they'll cover your name brand drug, or, you know, some of them are only covering certain drugs in each category to help save costs on their end. So that's why we're seeing some formulary changes between the companies to try to save money there. So it's a little bit more work sometimes for the client to get authorizations through. The doctors have to turn in appeals sometimes, things like that.
Okay. And you mentioned the changes are great if you're on expensive meds. What if you are on, I guess, like less expensive meds, which I tend to think of like generic, or maybe they're just, you know, because they're out of patent or things like that. But I understand it's all individual, but what would be going up then? Is that then maybe where like your deductible or like might be higher, or how would that go up if you're not on expensive meds?
I mean, the good news is that most generic medications, most maintenance meds are still very low cost. And even with some of these Part D plans, a lot of them maintained low premiums because the government subsidies did go up when it comes to the plan changes for 2025. And so, you know, in general, you can still find low premium plans available in your state, whether it's an Advantage plan or a Part D plan. So it's not all bad. It's just that these companies are taking on more risk. So it'll be interesting to see how their benefits change year over year so that they can remain profitable.
Okay. All right. So we've highlighted, you know, big changes to Part D. What other changes were there either from the Inflation Reduction Act or just, you know, changes that have been made outside of that in the past few years?
Yeah, absolutely. So another big thing that we saw was called CMS Final Rule. And that piece of legislation, there was a lot to it, but really it was going to be changing the brokerage commission structure for Advantage plans and for Part D plans. So essentially it was going to be taking away some commission from FMOs or from hierarchies that market these types of plans. Now, luckily there was a nonprofit that was created and kind of stepped in and intervened in that regard to kind of fight for the FMO or to kind of explain to CMS what value the FMO brings to independent insurance agents. So luckily we've still got brokerage commissions right now, but the ultimate goal is having more beneficiary choice and having brokerages around to support the insurance agents who are marketing these plans.
All right. Any other changes that you want to highlight or talk about?
You know, those are kind of the biggest ones here in 2025. The standard Part B premium is $185. If you are on a supplement plan, the new Part B deductible is $257. So we are seeing things go up, but in general, things are really great and strong in the Medicare world. I've been in this game since 2005. So 2005 is when I first started working at a health insurance brokerage. 2006 is when I first got life and health licensed. I've seen a lot of changes throughout the last 19 years, and there's always kind of this threat or talk about things going away. Medicare is still incredibly strong. These products are fantastic. I've seen, you know, how these plans pick up when you're in the worst timing of your life, or if you go into the hospital, or if you've got a family member there. I see how these products come in and pick up the costs of those needs. So, you know, everything is still strong from that perspective. We're seeing a lot of changes, but all for the benefit of the consumer, in my opinion.
Well, that's good. We like to hear that, especially with so much in flux these days. What about, I know there's been a lot of talk, and this might go back. No, this was in within the last 2 years, but there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the impact to reducing the insulin price.
Yeah. So luckily, insulin is capped at $35. I'm pretty sure that 2 years ago when I spoke on
was
Medicare.
Was this in place? Okay.
I don't think it was yet. I'm not completely positive, but I think that that is one of the changes that came more recently or after I had that first episode. So what's great is there's a $35 cap on insulin prices, which is really fantastic for clients. They know that if they go get an insulin vial, that it's going to be capped at $35. Now, that is not for insulin producing medications. So there are some more expensive drugs out there that are insulin producing drugs. It does not apply to those. It's just to the true insulin. So the actual vials or flex pens of insulin.
Okay. All right. That's a very important distinction. Okay. Well, what about, you know, as we mentioned, you are eligible for Medicare at age 65. I'm going to just throw in an aside for our listeners, because I find oftentimes if you're not dealing with this or, you know, working with people or know people who are on Medicare, a lot of times clients will say, oh, I can't wait to get on Medicaid. And I'm like, well, no, I don't think that's part of our plan. So I'll kind of tee off a little bit about Medicaid, but please feel free to add on. So Medicare, we've already explained, is, you know, it is for health insurance and drugs or medicines, doctor's visits, if you have to go to the hospital, and you can become eligible at 65. Medicaid is actually the federal government funds it, but each state has their own program, and that is geared towards people who are, you know, don't have the financial resources to be able to afford care, medical insurance, or pay for care out of pocket.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of, I get that comment or question a lot. So just wanted to make that distinction for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I run into people all the time who get Medicare mixed up with Medicaid. The way that I always tell people to try to remember it is we care for the elderly. We aid the low income. And so that's
kind of
a distinction between the two.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you can have both. Like, we do run into clients who have both Medicare and Medicaid for low income assistance.
But the vast
majority of our market that we're talking to are people 65 and older who have Medicare due to age. And like you said, it's the federal health insurance program. Keep in mind, too, you actually can get Medicare under 65 if you have a qualifying disability. So that's another way that you could get Medicare earlier than your 65th birthday.
And is there an age for that, or just if you have a qualifying disability, you could get it at
a young,
there's no certain age for that.
Exactly. We run into clients who get Medicare early due to a disability. You typically get awarded Medicare 2 years after that qualifying disability. So 24 months after you become disabled, then you get A and B of Medicare. And just to kind of explain, A and B, so that's the two parts of original Medicare. Most people, like I mentioned, get that at 65. That's kind of your first step, is picking up Part A and Part B. The problem with having just original Medicare is that there's really large deductibles. There's a lot of coinsurance. Original Medicare doesn't pay for prescriptions or for long-term care or for dental. And so that's why you need the extra either supplement or Advantage plan coverage. And that's kind of where we come in and walk alongside clients to figure out which type of coverage would be a better fit, and then also which carriers are competitive wherever they're located.
Yes. Great. Okay. So then kind of staying on our topic, which is Medicare. So we mentioned, you know, 65 is kind of the magic number. Unless you have a qualifying disability, then there's no age minimum. But if you are, maybe we talk a little bit, Carly, and I alluded this too, and I think you might be in the same boat, is, you know, if you're working with like, we might have friends, I have clients who are younger and things like that, but their parents are, you know, getting near the age 65. So what are some things that, you know, the child, or if it's a family friend, how can they help?
Absolutely. I would say that the biggest pitfall to avoid is trying to do it all on your own. I've run into some clients who try to do all their own research. They go online. That it very quickly gets overwhelming and confusing when you're trying to navigate all the different parts and all the different letters of Medicare. So I would say to not try to navigate it by yourself, find an independent brokerage, an independent insurance agent to kind of walk you through what, you know, what's going to be best for their situation. If you try to do it on your own, I've run into clients before that will pick up more than one plan. And then there's issues with payment, or, you know, those two plans don't coordinate. There's really a lot of things that can go wrong if you're not an expert in the field. So I would say if you have, you know, independent, someone's coming in to kind of look at all of your options, that's really the best way to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm a financial advisor, and I would say I know enough to be dangerous. So even for my clients or for our listeners, while, you know, myself and my colleagues can answer some kind of high level questions, I would say we're certainly more useful when it comes to the financial side of things, of trying to manage that IRMA to the extent you can to keep the premiums down in coming years. But I would say this is not one where you want to try and go it alone. And I think too, just for our listeners, I mean, yes, the insurance agent is paid, but you're not writing a check for them. It's going to be the insurance company that'll pay the commission.
Right. Absolutely.
So I just wanted to kind of highlight that for the clients, even if you do it on your own, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know we'll come up this with like life insurance or long-term care insurance, things like that. Well, I'm just going to go to 1-800-INSURANCE, and then this way I don't have to pay anyone. Well, it's baked in there. The insurance company has baked that in as part of the premium. And I want to say the same goes for these type of insurance plans, right, Carly?
Yeah. So the way that we make our living is that whichever insurance company you go with, that's who pays us a commission. So to your point, we don't charge clients any consulting fees or appointment fees or anything like that. Our job is to compare all the different insurance companies out there. And then based on your specific situation, like your zip code, your prescriptions, your provider, you know, which providers you want access to, we do a deep dive then of which carrier would be the best fit.
Okay, great. I just always like to highlight that. So, you know, it's important that people understand, you know, I believe we should all be paid for the work we're doing, but just so the general public understands how that works. Mm-hmm. What else would you like to discuss or highlight? Or do we want to just kind of share like maybe some top tips for people as they're, you know, either whether they're embarking on it for the first time, so they're turning 65 this year, or, you know, just like when you had insurance through your employer, or if you had a standalone individual plan or private plan, you get another bite of the apple every year.
And what we always do is I usually start off by asking, okay, are you working? You know, are you still working at 65? Do you have access to an employer plan or retiree coverage? If so, it's helpful to know, okay, what's the premium? What's the deductible? What's the max out of pocket? That way we can then compare that to original Medicare and a supplement and Part D plan to see which is going to be more cost effective for someone. Really, that first step is going to be picking up original Medicare, which is just Part A and Part B, and then they can decide if they want to, you know, stay on an employer plan or get a supplement plan or get an Advantage plan and kind of navigating all the pros and cons.
So, Carly, I have a quick question on that. So if I'm 65, I'm still working, my employer has a plan that I'm a part of. I would still enroll in Part A and Part B at that time?
Actually, if you're still working, a lot of times people will pick up just Part A and delay Part B. So if I'm still working and let's say it's a regular PPO plan, then I usually will just pick up Part A because there's no premium to Part A. And then I'll delay Part B until later. If I am still working and it's an HSA plan, then I would actually need to delay both parts of Medicare if I want to keep contributing to the HSA. So just to make it more confusing and even more nuanced, I always ask people.
Thanks. Exactly why I had you on.
Right. And so usually I'll ask people, okay, is it a regular PPO type plan or is it an HSA? And that stands for health savings account, which some people contribute to a health savings account for tax purposes. You can no longer contribute to an HSA once you have any part of Medicare. So then I'll tell people you can actually delay both A and B if you want to keep contributing to the HSA.
Okay, that's a great distinction. So, so I just wanted to kind of clear, dig a little deeper into that question. So we've talked about, you know, you'll ask, are you still working? What type of plan do you have to kind of decide which path you're going to go down?
Yep.
All right, and then go on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's assume that someone says, okay, this employer plan is too expensive, or maybe the deductible is too high. Then we would pick up both A and B of Medicare and then choose either a supplement and Part D plan or an Advantage plan. And, you know, that's really where my team will come in and say, okay, here's the difference between a traditional Medicare supplement plan versus an Advantage plan. If you don't want to have any network and if you want a really high level of coverage, if you go into the hospital, we're going to go with a traditional Medigap plan. That's kind of the more traditional route. You pay more in premium for it, but then you have very, very little out of pocket when you use the plan.
And is that still the is that still like the handful of alphabet soup, like those type of plans, or has that all been, so that's still out there.
Yes, absolutely. So if I'm on a Medicare supplement plan, the most common is either a Plan G or a Plan N. So again, more letters to confuse people, but that's what we help delineate, you know, which one's going to be a good fit.
Okay. So you're doing either the Advantage or some type of supplemental plan.
Yep.
Okay. And then, sorry, I know I keep jumping in.
But no.
All good topics.
So if we go the traditional supplement route, then we get a separate standalone Part D plan for prescriptions. So that's kind of option one. And then option two are the Medicare Advantage plans that have typically your medical and your drug coverage together in one plan for low premium. And really the way that those work is they're low premium, sometimes even zero premium, depending on where you're located. But then you have copays when you use it, and you also have a network to adhere to. So it's really, you know, what's going to make more sense? How much provider flexibility do you want? What's your out-of-pocket exposure when it comes to a max out-of-pocket if you have an Advantage plan? So we really kind of weigh the pros and cons of which type would be a better fit for someone based on what matters most to them.
And how do you work, you know, when you mentioned the network, I think we're all familiar with that, regardless of what type of insurance you have at any point in life. How do you handle, like, a lot of our clients, you know, are snowbirds, mm-hmm. or are they, right? They might be based out of Illinois still because the kids and grandkids are here. They travel a lot, or certainly they want to get out of here for winter. So how do you advise on that? If I'm going to be part of the year in Illinois and part of the year in, you know, Florida or California or Arizona, or just be traveling around.
Absolutely. So if you never want to have to worry about network, then we go with a supplement. We go with that traditional Medigap plan, because then you never have to worry about, is this doctor in or out of network? You can literally go see any provider in the United States. And as long as they accept Medicare, you're good to go. Now, that's not to say that an Advantage plan wouldn't still be a good fit. You would just need to check the doctors in both states to make sure that they participate. The tricky thing about Advantage plans is doctors can leave the network. Doctors and hospitals leave, you know, from participating in these networks. And so it's important for clients to know that. The other thing that we always want to educate on is it's very easy to go from a supplement plan to an Advantage plan. It is not as easy to go from an Advantage plan to a supplement plan, meaning that you're really only guaranteed onto a supplement when you're either new to Medicare, new to Part B, or have some kind of a guaranteed issue situation. If you, like, let's say you start out on an Advantage plan and you're on that for 5 or 6 years, if you wanted to go to a supplement plan, in most states, you have to go through underwriting, which means that you have to be healthy enough to get onto a supplement. So, you know, there are some exceptions to that. There are some states that don't have underwriting, but it's an important distinction for most people to know is that if you want a no network plan, you should really do that when you're in your open enrollment period, which is when you're new to Medicare, either new to Part B or just turning 65.
Okay. How do pre-existing conditions play into that? I know you said there's health underwriting. Mm-hmm. So will they look at your conditions and you have?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I'm trying to go from an Advantage plan to a supplement plan and I've been on that Advantage plan for more than a year, then yes, they can look at my pre-existing conditions and they can say no to me. So I've got clients who are essentially, you could say, stuck on an Advantage plan because they can't get through underwriting to get a traditional supplement. Now, again, there are some exceptions to that. There's certain states that never allow underwriting, but most states do have underwriting if you're trying to upgrade from an Advantage plan to a supplement.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really key piece of information right there.
Absolutely.
And I think, too, highlights, again, why you want to work with a consultant or agent who is knowledgeable in the world of Medicare.
Yeah, there's a lot of caveats. There's a lot of if-then statements that can get really confusing. And so it's good to kind of partner with someone who knows the general landscape enough to know, you know, not only what's going to be a good fit now, but what might be a good fit for you in the future, or if your health changes, or, you know, how these plans change year over year.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not only, I mean, you really can't control your health, right? You can do things to try to, mm-hmm. but, you know, we all know the person is, oh my God, they were so healthy. And then, you know, got some type of condition or chronic illness. Mm-hmm. So you can't fully control it. And then as we've talked about, the plans and the laws continue to change as well.
It's also a very, I'm going to say, territory-based discussion as well, only because there are some areas of the U.S. where Advantage plans have really great networks and you can go see any doctor that you want to in your area. And then there's other parts of the U.S. where more doctors don't participate. So it's also a conversation that's kind of dependent on where your primary residence is, because that's going to determine that network component to the conversation.
Okay, great. Well, this, as expected, has been a wealth of knowledge. So I appreciate you taking the time out to talk with me and so we can share your knowledge and experience with our listeners. And I just want to thank you again for coming in. If anyone does have questions, because I know you're with, as I mentioned, Ash Brokerage, how should, and they want to talk to a consultant, should they reach out to you or what's the best way to get them in touch with someone at your company?
Yeah, absolutely. So here at Ash Brokerage, between all of our reps, we are licensed in all 50 states. And so we've got someone that can help you dependent on where you're located. And we do offer both types of plans. We've got supplement plans, Advantage plans, Part D plans, with a lot of the major carriers out there. So yeah, I'm usually a main point of contact. And then if I'm not personally licensed there, I can get you in touch with someone who is. I'm licensed in about 26 or 27 states. So we can help no matter where you're located and kind of help guide you through the process.
And great. Would you mind sharing the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to put that in the show notes of the best way to connect with myself and the team. If you have a general question, if you email medicare@ashbrokerage.com, we could always start there and get you in touch with someone who can help and help guide you through the whole process.
That was great. Very good conversation. Thanks, Nicole, for digging into a unwieldy topic at best.
Yeah, that's best. A great description, Bill.
You know, Carly, I have one quick question because I'm confused about a point. I have heard that there is a point at which people should be aware it is mandatory that they sign up for Part A or they could face some sort of penalties. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it is true. I always tell people my biggest goal is that I don't want you to pay any late enrollment penalties. And so if you're turning 65 and you're still working and thinking about staying on an employer plan, we got to make sure that it's called creditable coverage. That's a real key word, is making sure that that plan is creditable so that you don't have late enrollment penalties down the road. Because to your point, there's late enrollment penalties for original Medicare and for Part D coverage as well.
Yeah, and they stay with you, right?
Absolutely.
They stay with you, right?
They sure do.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, thanks, Carly. Thank you for your time. And again, your contact information is in the show notes. But Nicole, how do people get a hold of you? I know your information will be in the show notes as well, but, yes. Go ahead and tell us.
Yes. So I would say the best way is to go to our website, myprivatevista.com. On our homepage, there's a contact us button. You can please put in your information, reference this episode, and either myself or one of my wonderful colleagues will reach out so we can start the conversation. You can also call our main line at 312-831-4370, and the receptionist can direct you again to me or one of my colleagues.
That's great. The other thing you can do if you're listening to this podcast and you're not a subscriber, become a subscriber. It's really easy. All you have to do is reach out and hit the subscribe button, the follow button. That way, every time Nicole drops a new episode, you're notified. And you can give it a listen. The thing I would ask, too, is if you find this podcast interesting, valuable, you like it, tell people about it, please. Because in this world where you never know who's recommending what online, it's always nice to have a friend or somebody you know say, hey, I like this podcast. You might want to give it a listen. I find it helpful. We'd appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Bill Tucker. On behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista, thank you for taking the time to listen today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.